accession number 20126, reel 1.
Thomas Lavelle, reel 1.
Can you tell me something about your background, please?
Well, yes, as far as in the army is concerned, I enlisted in 1938 to the Military College of Science as an apprentice artificer RA, which was a sort of a jack of all trades in those days before the days of specialist equipment. And this was at Woolwich, at Cambridge Barracks and Red Barracks, both of which were flattened during the Blitz.
Where were you born?
A place called Rochford near Southend in Essex.
And when was that?
November 1923. That makes me 76, doesn't it? Something like that.
What did your parents do?
My parents were divorced, but my mother remarried, and she married a regular army officer who was based at Shoeburyness, and he was a major, and he influenced me to go into the army, to the artillery, which is his regiment.
What was his job?
Experimental work. Shoeburyness was a proof and experimental range where test firing and proof firing was carried out. That's closed down now, although it did continue for many years after I left there.
And what about your education?
Secondary school, Southend Grammar School, Southend Polytechnic it was in those days. But I left all that in 1938, when I was 15, to go to the military college. So I can consider that as a further education as well, because the artificer training ran for 4 years, apprenticeship, over 4 years.
And that's what you really wanted to do? You really wanted to join the
army? Well, it was a career, yes.
Did you need any qualifications from your education to do that?
Well, to enter the Military College of Science as an apprentice, one had to take a competitive examination. I think in that particular year, there were, out of 200 odd applicants, 80 were accepted. So it was fairly selective. My acceptance may have been influenced by the fact that my stepfather was an artillery officer. I don't know. Don't think about those things.
And what type of questions did they have on the examination?
Written examinations on the basic sciences and so on. Everything leaned towards science.
And had you been interested in science?
Oh, yes.
So you went there in
1938.
And can you tell me how you arrived there and what your reception was like?
It was like a duck out of water, I suppose. It was a school, really, just a school with discipline, rather than the same way as this is a hospice with discipline. I had nothing to compare it with, really. I have kept up with friendships formed in those days by men who are still alive and followed their careers and so on. And it was a sort of an old school setup. Yes.
So what happened on the actual day you arrived? What was the procedure?
There was a swearing-in ceremony and we were presented with the King's Shilling. But that was before I got to Woolwich, because I actually enlisted and the ceremony and so on was performed at Worley in Essex, which was the depot of the Essex Regiment, I think. But I was only a small boy at that time.
Were you issued with a uniform when you got to Woolwich?
Not immediately, no. For the first few weeks we were in our ordinary clothes, boys from all over the country. North of Scotland even. Yes. Because we're going back nearly to 60 years now. Yeah.
So were you introduced to drill very early on?
Very early, yes. In fact, we weren't allowed out for about 3 months from the barracks. We had, you know, marching drills and those sort of skills, yes. We had our uniforms after about 2 or 3 weeks, and of course we were all small boys, so yes.
Who were the instructors?
The people who dealt with us day to day and hour to hour were NCOs of the artillery. We had some officers, but not many. But we seldom saw them. But the basic training, once that was completed, we started on. We went to school as well. We had schoolroom lessons. And in fact, as I recall, the army at that time had various educational qualifications. We were required to take the second class certificate of education examinations almost straight away. The third class was considered as passed by the entry examination, which we'd done, and then we were encouraged to take the army first class certificate of education, which we did after about 6 months. And this was things, subjects relating to the army really, military geography, and leaning towards science, quite a high level of maths. We didn't do languages, only English, of course.
Who did the teaching?
Army Education Corps. It was rather interesting because they were nice chaps. They were all basically the rank of sergeant, I think. But when the war started, 2 or 3 years later, they were all commissioned immediately. We lost sight of them then.
What was your accommodation like at Woolwich?
Dormitories with about 12 boys in each, I suppose. The college was divided into companies, and it was called Training Battalion Military College of Science, as I recall it, yeah. But, yes, it was dormitory.
And was there anybody in charge of the dormitory?
Well, one senior boy would be appointed to each dormitory from his own term. There was an entry to the college every 6 months. And mine was number 30, well, it's year 38, 38B. Yeah.
And what was your food like?
Adequate, I suppose. I didn't think much about it. Some people were always hungry. No. The college was a very, you know, friendly sort of place. We were all in the same boat, as it were.
So did you make friendships?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, we all had something in common or we wouldn't have been there. Yeah.
And when you were there, you said you were issued with a uniform. What did that look like?
Well, the first uniforms we had were ordinary service dress, but with short putties. Trousers sort of three-quarter length, with putties underneath. But a couple of years after we'd started there, I think Hall Belisha was the war minister, he started altering things, and they did away with the putties completely and went on to wearing slacks. Later on again, we were still there when battle dress was introduced for the first conscripts. But they were big boys, they were about 21 years old.
And how did you take to inspections, kit inspections, that sort of thing?
Well, that was just part of life. Yeah, no bother, you worked with the system.
Did you have to lay your kit out in a specific manner?
We did, yes, but it wasn't made such an important thing, so long as we'd got the stuff. No, the military college was not so much of the bull, as they call it. It was, we were there for a purpose, to learn technical things, and learn certain skills, and anything else was incidental.
So how was discipline?
Fairly strict. But there were rules, and if you followed the rules, you were okay. But if you didn't, well, it was your own fault, wasn't it? Yeah.
Were there any examples of people who didn't follow the rules?
Well, punishments such as being confined to barracks, not being allowed out for a week or whatever, that's the sort of thing. One accepts that. Yeah.
So, when you first arrived, you were in the barracks for the first 3 months.
Yes.
And what happened after that 3 months? Did you change from an entrant to a cadet, or did you have a change in title?
Well, you were called an apprentice artificer. There was no great distinction between rank. It was more a question. Yes, well, one man in each dormitory would be the NCO, as a boy NCO, as being responsible for discipline and preparation for parades and all that sort of thing. We did have a trumpeter in my dormitory. That was a different system again, because their boy service was probably about 3 months training and then pitched into the real thing. But our training went on and on.
And what form did the technical training take?
Well, initially, use of tools and actual production of... Well, we had machine shops with lathes and drills and so on, and we were taught how to use these tools. And we were given test pieces to carry out. This went on for years, a couple of years or so.
What test pieces would you have to make?
Mild steel joints. We'd be given a machine drawing and required to produce the item on there by manually and also by machinery. I suppose the idea was that in the service, an artificer was required to improvise. That was the beauty of our work, really. And it became more specialist as the years went on. After a couple of years, we were taught how to rewire the electrics on vehicles and so on. And there were regular tests and examinations, written examinations as well.
Were you introduced to guns at all this period?
Not immediately, no. But after about a year we were, yes. We were very familiar with all the equipment.
So what guns were you operating or using?
18-pounders in the initial stages, but later on we went on to... we did small arms, machine guns and that sort of thing.
So was the theory behind your training to give you a good all-round ability with weapons and vehicles?
That's right, yeah, that was it.
And how long did that training go on for?
In my case, 4 years. It should have been 5, but they cut out part of it because of the war starting. Yeah.
And during that time, were you encouraged to play sport?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, it was like a boarding school, really. We had intercompany competitions and leagues and so on, yes.
What sports did you play?
I played rugby at one time, cricket, yeah. Boxing for a time.
Did that take up much of your day?
No. It was probably given over to one afternoon a week for something regular. It was as much as you wanted, really.
Can you give me some idea of what your daily routine would have been then?
Yes, reveille was at about 6:15, I think, as I recall. I never thought about times, we just went as a swarm. Breakfast would have been about 7:30. Then there'd be a period of cleaning up in the dormitory. The dormitory inspection probably every morning. It just taught us to be clean and tidy, really.
Would the rest of the day be taken up in the workshop or in lectures?
That's right, yes. Probably say all morning at about 8:30 they'd parade and march up to the workshops from Cambridge Barracks to the Rotunda workshops, spend the whole morning there, then march back for lunch, and then afternoon probably schoolroom. It was a pretty strict schedule anyway.
And what would you do in the evenings?
Play cards. Read. Study. We weren't given homework to do as such, but I mean, we were expected to. It's just a normal school, I suppose, normal college. And then at weekends we could go out, the theatre, that sort of thing.
Did you go into London?
Well, it was London, Woolwich. Just get on a tram all the way to the Embankment. Yeah. There was no need to go into central London. I mean, Woolwich had all we wanted. There was theatres and cinemas, and later on the pubs.
Because Woolwich was very much a garrison town at that time.
It was, yes, yes. And Woolwich Arsenal still functioned as a manufacturing place. Yeah.
So were there any specific places that you would go to?
The Woolwich Empire Theatre, the music hall, that sort of thing. Life was, you know, quite inexpensive, and we did go up to London once in a while, but just sightseeing. I remember when we were doing our map reading studies, we used to go up to the top floor onto the roof of Red Barracks, and we had a panoramic view right across all the docks, and we used to do map reading on that for the Ordnance Survey map. Yeah.
Was there any other units besides the artillery based at Woolwich?
Not that we had anything to do with them. There was the academy, of course. No, I don't think there were. We had a few ordnance people came in once in a while, ordnance corps. But specialist training was limited to the college. The other artillery units were basic training for gunners and boy service trumpeters. In fact, that was the system. If one entered the college as an apprentice and failed for one reason or other after the first 3 months, failed the various tests, they were given the option of becoming a civilian again and leaving, or continuing on to become a trumpeter. And they could become an accomplished trumpeter by the time they were about 16, and then be posted anywhere, Hong Kong, Singapore, whatever. That was a complete, well, it's not a life's work being a trumpeter anyway. But they were very good chaps anyway.
And what were relations like with the civilians in the town?
Very, very limited. You see, I'm just trying to think what. No, we were army and that was it. I can't really say that I knew any civilians other than those employed in the barracks. No.
So, how had you got on at this period with the NCOs and the officers over that 4 year period?
Yeah. How do we get on with them? Well, we respected them because of their appointments, and it was just a part of the system. Yeah.
Was there a great distance between the officers and the men?
Yes, I would say there was. I mean, the officers would... the only contact we had with them was perhaps on paper aids and that sort of thing. They kept us pretty well occupied. I mean, we used to wear what they call canvas overalls to go to work in the workshops, and we had to wash them ourselves, scrub them. Yeah.
And during this period, you said you'd been introduced to machine guns and other firearms.
Yes.
Did you go out onto the ranges to use these weapons?
Not in the early days, no. No, not at all. No.
So when did you?
We didn't even do drill with rifles in the early years. We used to have a cane, that was all, that was a stick. Yeah. But we're dredging back now to, as I say, about 60 years ago.
So you were there at the outbreak of war. What was your reaction to the declaration of war?
Well, we knew it was coming. We were told it was coming. And we were involved in digging slit trenches for air raid shelters and that sort of thing.
Where was that?
At Woolwich. But when the war came, we were sent on leave until they reorganised where we were going to be.
Had you heard Chamberlain's speech?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What was your reaction to it?
Well, it had been thought about for some time, hadn't it? It was a completely different world suddenly. We were sent on leave and told that we'd be reappointed to complete our training at some other place, which they did.
Where was that, man?
At Lydd in Kent, on what had been the tank ranges. They had workshops there and we were moved down there, and that was considered very dangerous, so we were moved again to North Wales.
So how long were you at Lydd?
We were probably only there about 6 months, and I was about 16, I suppose, I don't know. When we moved up to complete our training at Rhyl in North Wales, the war had really started then, and I stayed there until I was about 19.